Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
Before we get in the Word this morning, I just want to recognize fathers since it's Father's Day. And if you are a father in any way, shape, or form, please stand up so we can recognize you. Thank you. That's all you guys get. Oh, and a gift card, yes. Make sure you guys get your gift cards on the way out if you didn't on the way in. So, you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. As a father, you have one of the hardest jobs on earth, no joke. You're expected to lead your home spiritually, be an amazing husband, lead your kids well, be the provider for your family, be the best employee in your workplace, and be like Jesus everywhere you go. Just me saying that may sound impossible and stressful, but I can tell you it's not impossible with the Holy Spirit leading your life. Amen? Amen. Many of us have had less than Jesus-like examples in our own fathers, me included. I love seeing these kids. I love seeing they're talking about godly examples in their lives. Some of us never had that. I never met my birth father. I recently found out from half-siblings I never met that he just died a few months back. I did get to inherit a few of his guns, which was kind of weird and cool, but never had the opportunity to meet him because he did not care to meet me. My adopted dad, Lefty, was hardworking and hard-drinking for much of his life. I learned a trade from him that helped me enter the nuclear world, which I'm thankful for, but he also taught me drinking by his example and a worldly view of sexuality by being exposed to pornography at an early age. He was definitely not a spiritual role model in my life, and instead, I became a spiritual role model for him in his last years before entering heaven in 2012. By the way, I love my dad. Still do. Even though I wish he had been that spiritual role model I needed. Ooh, didn't know this was going to happen. All right, so we don't get to pick our fathers, but regardless of their godly example or not, we have the opportunity to flip the script for my win the day brotherhood guys and change the direction of our lives for our wives, our kids, our neighborhoods, workplaces, churches, and bring glory to God. Amen? So Barna research reveals that a father's presence heavily influences future generations. With a father's active spiritual leadership significantly boosting a child's likelihood to maintain their faith into adulthood. However, many dads report not are feeling relationally and spiritually ill-equipped for this role. And guys, let me tell you, you have the opportunity to change your life, be the father you wish you had, and we're here to help you. Reach Community Church will help you get equipped for your role, and part of that is getting into God's Word, which we're going to do right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we just thank you for another opportunity to hear from you. We thank you that, Lord, that you placed this Word on my heart. God, I pray that you'd help me get out of the way. I pray that your Spirit would speak to your people now, that you give every person here ears to hear, and not just to hear, but be doers of your Word, God, as your Word tells us, to apply the lessons that we learn here today, God, to grow in you, to be more like you. May that be our heart, may that be our goal, and God, have your way in each one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So today, if you have your Bibles, which is always a good practice, if you're coming to church, as we used to say, word, okay, everybody say word.
Word.
All right? Next time we say a word, I want to see everybody hold up their Bibles. All right. We're going to be in 1 Peter 2:9 through 3:12 and some other places. And the title of my message is Just Submit. How's that? That title may cause you to feel the same way you do about the word Father for some of us because of your own experience, but I assure you it's part of God's plan for every believer in Jesus Christ. This message is not just for the guys, but for all of us, because Peter wrote this epistle to Christians that had been dispersed abroad due to the persecution in the early church. And although we know very little of persecution in the country we are blessed to be a part of, we should have no issue heeding the word that we will cover today. We all need to learn the lessons of submission if we intend to be more like Christ. Now let's read starting in verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Peter reminds believers everywhere who they are in Christ, which is a great practice for us to follow. And I highly suggest highlighting or underlining these verses in your Bible if they aren't already, or doing that in your neighbor's Bible next to you. I give you full permission. We get so many reminders of all that we aren't in this world, don't we? But God says you are so much more. If you didn't hear it enough from your earthly father, your heavenly father says that he loves you so many times and in so many ways. He has chosen you. He has made you a royal priesthood. Okay, so for us, most of us are Gentile believers that are probably here. We had no part of the priesthood. We had no part of the lineage. And guess what? He has made us not only royal, but part of the priesthood. He has grafted us in to his whole plan. You are part of a holy nation. It's his nation. And he calls you his own special people. You are now part of God's people. He is your good, good father. As a response to what he has done for us and has saved us from, we get to proclaim his praises. He deserves all the praise and all the glory. Thank you, Father God. This next section is titled, like in your Bible, it probably says living before the world like mine does. But this is what we're doing, aren't we? We're here before the world. We're here to be representatives of Christ. So check this out. Verses 11 and 12. Beloved, which is what he calls us, which is awesome, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So after a word of blessing comes a word of warning. Our Heavenly Father cares that we don't fall prey to what the world routinely gives into, lust. Sojourners and pilgrims speaks as if we're passing through, because we are. That means travelers, those that are like the like pioneers coming across the United States, you know, in the early days, right? We're moving on through, trying to get out west, but we're not going out west. We are going to heaven. Because guess what? In the bigger picture, we're not primarily citizens of the United States of America, which we are blessed to be a part of, but rather we are citizens of heaven. This is not our final destination, guys. And when we keep heaven in mind, it all starts making sense. We have been given a new life in Christ and a new destination, heaven. The warning, don't derail your walk with God by indulging your flesh and giving in to lust. Which lust? All lust. It is referenced here like a war against your soul. Do battle against your own flesh because it wants to take you down. Ask God in prayer to help you, and He will. He will do the super. He wants us to do the natural as He shows you how to fight. So Gentiles referenced here is to mean unbelievers, not Gentile believers like most of us are. We battle against our fleshly lusts, not just for our own benefit, but to give testimony to the world around us of God working in and through our lives. We are living stones, as Peter mentions earlier in this chapter, so that the world would see our good works and glorify God. So again, this idea of having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, those words remind me of a guy named Gil that led me back to the Lord 26 years ago. I've mentioned him before, and I'll mention him again in the rest of my life. He was a coworker and the first real Christian that I had ever met at that point in my life. Even when the dirty jokes, the gossip, the trash talk would take place at work, Gil wasn't a part of it. And you couldn't say any bad thing about him. Why? His conduct was honorable. He served Christ, was led by the Holy Spirit, and always was an example of Jesus to me and our whole workplace. Gil wasn't perfect, but apart from Jesus, he was the most perfect example I had seen of a godly man and gave me an example to follow as I walked out my own faith. So here's a couple questions you can write down, answer later. When is the last time you took a stand against your flesh, the world, or the devil? Because we're fighting against all three, if you didn't know. When is the last time you took a stand against your flesh, the world, or the devil? Here's another question. Do people in your sphere of influence even know you're a Christian? And number three, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I know that seems funny, but it's not. We want there to be evidence of our Christianity, right? We want people to see Jesus in us. All right, now that we bookended that part, we're going to jump into the meat of what we're going to talk about today. And that is the word submit. So this first section is submission to government. 1 Peter 2:13 through 14. Therefore, because of all that we just read, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Oh, how we love the word submit, don't we? All right, there might be a little sarcasm in that statement, but the Greek word used here for submit, it looks like it's spelled hypotasso, but it's actually pronounced hupotasso. Can you guys say that? Hupotasso. Look at that. You guys are Greek scholars already. All right, it means to be subordinate, to be under obedience, subject to, or put under. And most of the time when you see those words used interchangeably in the New Testament, it is the same word, hupotasso. It is the same word used in every section we're going to cover today. And again, how do you feel about that word? In this context, under the subject of being in submission to government, are you doing that? Let's see another section of scripture that reinforces this idea of submission to government. From Romans 13, 1 and 2, it says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." Wow. So Peter, who we're reading about today, and Paul, who wrote Romans, were writing these epistles at a time when Christians were being persecuted for their faith by Roman Caesars. Caesar Nero was burning Christians at the stake and feeding Christians to lions in the Colosseum. Many of our brothers and sisters in Christ were slaves under harsh Roman rule. This was the reality and the background of what was going on when these verses were written. Jesus even said, when asked about, is it right to give taxes to Caesar? He said, render the things that belong to Caesar to Caesar, and the things that belong to God to God. Why? The governing authorities are appointed by God. There is a lesson in submission that we won't learn any other way until we do it. Every part of submission is learning to be more like Christ. He submitted himself even to the death on the cross and left us the greatest picture of submission. So he submitted himself to the Father for our behalf, right? He's just asking us to return the favor by learning each and every step of being more like him. So I'm not going to turn this political, but there have been plenty of people in government that I've just had to shake my head at and go, how? Right? And I'm sure you guys have done the same thing. Well, the answer is God. That's how. Remember this message the next time you want to protest and resist those in power over you. We live in a country that is not perfect, but we have it pretty good compared to what the early Christians had to deal with, don't we? And even today, we have brothers and sisters around the world that are going through great persecution, living in all different kinds of governments and rule and authority, and they're submitting. They're following God, even sometimes to the point of death. We have it really good where we live, folks. God knows what he is doing, and submission to our governing authorities is part of his spiritual growth. So another note here I just want to point out as we walk through these ideas of submission, whether it's this or the ones that we're going to follow, all the areas we will share about submission today are not an ultimate or total submission. Meaning, if it violates God's word, we won't submit. Amen? Amen. So I'll give you a perfect example in talking about government. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Remember those boys? You know, living in Babylon. They're under King Nebuchadnezzar, and everybody was told to bow to this big golden statue that Nebuchadnezzar had built up. And bottom line is, these guys are like, hey, you know what? We're not going to do that. You know, we don't bow to anyone except our God. And that should be our mentality, our way that we operate. Nobody's going to tell you not to worship our God. And that is where you take the stand. And it could have cost them their life, but God showed up in the fire, didn't he? All right, moving on. Verses 15 and 16. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And oh, are we surrounded. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. So we are free in Christ, but also bondservants. You guys know what that means? Bondservants, and when we're reading this in the Bible, was a willing slave. Somebody that served as a slave long enough that they said, you know what? Okay, I could be freed, or I could be tied to my master forever. And they chose to be tied to their master forever, even so much as they would put an awl into their ear and basically mark them, that they were marked as belonging to that master. But they chose that. That's what we're talking about when we say bond servants. So we are willing slaves not to use our liberty as a means to sin, but to do good. Why? This world, our world, needs to see Jesus. His spirit lives in you, so live to do good. When we do good, it shuts up the naysayers and the fools, doesn't it? They have nothing to say about against us. So verse 17, it says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So love God and love people. That's really the mission, isn't it? That is the best way to honor all, is to show the love of Christ. And by the way, if we did this the way God intended, I'm pretty sure we wouldn't have half the issues that we do in this world. Love the brotherhood. To all my guys in brotherhood, love y'all. But it's actually more than that. It means to love all your brothers and sisters in Christ, not just here in these four walls or in our brotherhood group or in the U.S., but around the world. And guess what? Pray for them. Out on that table out there, you see the Voice of the Martyrs, magazines. We have brothers and sisters all around this world that are being persecuted for following Jesus like we are. But they're following Jesus in a whole different situation, to the fact that they are being radically persecuted. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Fear God means to have a healthy respect for him. And for those that came from abusive homes or an abusive father, guess what? Your good, good father, your heavenly father, he is not that. But we are to have a healthy respect for him. Honor the king. Oh boy. All right, here we go. We don't have a king in this country. Everybody know that? Despite certain points of view, we do, however, have a president, and we should honor him. One of the best ways we can honor him is to pray for him and that God would lead him by his Spirit. And oh, by the way, it doesn't matter who is in office, you should be praying for them. Whether you agree with their points of view or not, pray for that person because God put them there. All right, moving on to submission to masters, verses 18 through 25. Servants, that would be us, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. What? For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. That's from Isaiah 53. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So if we work for someone, which most of us do, or somebody, we have a boss in some way, shape, or form in our life, then this is for you and me. We all have some master that we report to. I've had several bosses over the years, some good, some less than good, some very difficult to work for. Bottom line, again, we have the opportunity to submit to their authority because we're learning what it is to be like Christ. This whole section points right back to Jesus and how he submitted himself even to the death that we deserved, right? So that we could have eternal life. And by the way, he didn't even speak a reviling word against those that were killing him. Instead, he asked the Father to forgive them, right? So here's a question. How many reviling words have you spoken against your boss? Ouch. Maybe that's something that you need to take before the Lord. All right, I have a confession to make at this point. As I was praying about what to share this Sunday, this was a couple months ago, as I was out walking my dogs, God showed me what submission looks like or doesn't look like. So our dogs can be amazing. They can be wonderful most of the time. They look forward to walks. They get excited. They start wagging. Their whole bodies just wag. And then once we get outside, a rebellious kind of spirit just takes over these dogs, especially if we see other dogs. Soon I'm holding onto their leashes for dear life, right? No matter what I say, they won't listen. If they see a dog or a squirrel or whatever, no matter what I say, they won't listen. And I have to make quick work of getting them away from what they're locked into. And I mean, I'm sitting there holding this leash with these two dogs. They're freaking out. And God's like, huh. What you're feeling now is what it feels like for me when you won't submit. I've got your leash. I've given you all the instruction you need, but you're choosing to disobey. I need you just to submit. And it's really that easy. Just submit. He has done the hard part, hasn't he? He has made the way of escape from sin and death. He's got our leash. Quit going wild on the end of the leash. I hope this is speaking to someone today because it speaks to me. And maybe I'm the only dog in here, but I doubt it. All right. Submission to husbands. All right. Ooh, let me take a drink before we get here. All right, here we go. Verses 1 through 6 of chapter 3. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observed your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. No, don't call your husband Lord. I'm telling you. Whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. So ladies, sisters in Christ, you have a huge part to play in this process of all of us becoming more like Christ through submission. In marriage, God designed marriage. He created the order in marriage. The problem is we sinned in the garden, and ever since there's been conflict in marriage. It says in Genesis 3:16, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. That's part of the curse. And there's the problem, right? Eve should have never been talking to the snake, the devil, but she did. Adam was right there and didn't step into his role when he should have. The world was cursed because of their sin, and yes, we would have sinned also in the same circumstances, given enough time. Ladies, you are far, far more capable and able in so many ways, especially when it comes to spiritual things. I've seen it over and over again in church circles and all the years of leading and being part of small groups. Women can get together, get into Bible study, prayer, worship, teach without any real prompting. You are capable of leading the charge for your entire family, but that's not your role. You are not less because you submit to your husband. He is called to lead, and he should be leading. That is part of God's design. But he's a knucklehead, you say. Yes, but he's your knucklehead, and you said yes to him. So now what? If you want to see him change, start submitting to him. Not like a mindless robot, but as a loving wife who wants the best for her husband, her family, and herself. And if you really want to see Jesus in your husband, then it starts with you first. How? Start with prayer. Pray that God would show you what to say or not to say to encourage your husband. And when's the last time you really prayed for him? When's the last time you prayed together? Do you do all the praying? Or do you encourage him to pray for your marriage and family? And if he does pray, thank him for being a prayer warrior for your family. And here's a freebie for you girls, ladies, women. Guys love being called any kind of warrior. So there you go. Next, speak words of encouragement, not discouragement, to him. I'm not saying you need to call him Lord like Sarah did with Abraham, like our text states. But what I am saying is words matter, don't they? If you want to see him more like Jesus, don't beat him down with discouraging word as he's trying to come up. You're probably way more versed biblically than he might ever be, and maybe you have the entire Bible memorized. Great. But if you want to see him grow, speak words of life and encouragement. He needs that. Also, thank him if he is willing to read the word with you, which, by the way, he is supposed to be doing. And finally, let him see the hidden person of the heart with incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. So that whole idea of seeing what's on the inside, I mean, look, when we saw our wife for the first time, it was obviously outward, and we're like, ooh, nice, right? It's not saying if the barn doesn't need painting, paint it, right? I mean, you know, you can dress up, you can look good and everything else, but guess what? It really matters more, essentially, is what it's on the inside. Whether he is saved or not, let him see Jesus in you, even without words. The old saying is, you may be the only Bible some people will ever read. What kind of Bible are you to your husband? Does your conduct make him want to be more like Jesus or drive him away? And I'll say a final note to my sisters in Christ before leaving this idea of submission to husbands. I understand that not every marriage is easy. In fact, let's just acknowledge that marriage is hard, even the good ones. Amen? I don't know what kind of husband you have. He could be a complete knucklehead that needs a lot of work, or he could be a godly man that shines for Jesus. Either way, we are all a work in progress. Amen? None of us have arrived. I'm still a work in progress and get it quite wrong quite often. Just ask Charlotte, right? You can nod your head. It's all right. But I know that when she trusts God with the outcome and trusts what his word says, even this word about submission, things go better. And a quick word to my guys about this subject. Quit being knuckleheads. Your wife has the difficult job of submitting to your authority. Give her something worth submitting to. Oh, and I better not hear of you using this verse against her. This is not for you to say, oh, well, you need to submit to me. You heard what? No, do not ever say that. This is not how this works. And likewise, ladies, for the verses that are coming up for the guys, you don't do that to them either. That's how you give Satan a foothold, by the way. So don't open that door. Instead, when you want to do that, go pray. Get along with God. Do some business. All right. Moving on. Word to husbands. Verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Wait a minute, my sisters in Christ protest. We got 6 verses about submission to husbands, but the guys get 1 verse? What? Hang on, because we'll get some verses from Ephesians 5 also. Don't worry, we're about to get ours. So, dwell with them. A godly husband lives with his wife. Well, thank you, Captain Obvious. But it doesn't mean he just merely shares a house, but he truly lives with her. He recognizes the great point of Paul's teaching on marriage in Ephesians 5, which we're going to reference here, verses 25 through 29 from Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. This is old King James. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, just even as the Lord the church. Oh, good. It's not up there. I should have just changed it on the fly. So in a nutshell, men, you get to die for your wife. Yes. You give of yourself sacrificially as Jesus did for all of us. You submit your life to her. It's like, whoa, wait, it doesn't say submit. Guess what? If you're going to the point of death, that's submitting to the point of death. Just like you love yourself, you need to love your wife. Take care of her in every way. That is your job. All right, back to 1 Peter 3:7. So what does it mean as to the weaker vessel? In this context, weaker speaks of the woman's relative physical weakness in comparison to men. And yes, there are some freakishly strong ladies out there. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that they're in general, right? Men are typically stronger than women. But men aren't necessarily stronger spiritually than women. They are generally stronger physically. As Peter brought in the idea of the woman's feminine nature with the words, the wife, he continues in appreciating the feminine nature and how a husband should respond to it. So a godly husband recognizes whatever limitations his wife has physically, and he does not expect more from her than is appropriate and kind, that your prayers may not be hindered. Notice how our prayers can be hindered, men. Indeed, to true believers, prayer is so invaluable that the danger of hindering it is used by Peter as motive why, in their marriage relationships and household concerns, they should behave themselves with great wisdom. He bids the husband dwell with his wife according to knowledge and render loving honor to her, lest their united prayers should be hindered. Anything which hinders prayer must be wrong, if any management of the family or want of management is injuring our power in prayer. There is an urgent demand for an alteration. And that's from Charles Spurgeon. Spurgeon is saying that there is no quicker way to cut off your line to God than treating your wife wrong. You better make it right with her before you expect God to hear you. Hearing me, men? All right, at this point, all the young people are like, cool, that's for my mom and dad, but wait, there's more. I'm jumping ahead to chapter 5, where Peter continues this idea of submission. Let's read starting in verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, I see some of you, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Referencing Proverbs 3:34. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Did you notice it doesn't just mention the submission of younger people, but all of us being submissive to one another? Why? Because if you are not, then God likens it to pride. And what does God do with pride? That's right. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. God clearly lays out his instruction here. Humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God will eventually lead him to exalting you. Don't get that backwards. The warning here is that you and I have a real enemy named Satan whose sole purpose it is to destroy you. What's his old trick all the way back to the garden? What's original sin? Pride. Don't let him have a way back to you. Die to your flesh, your pride, and submit yourself to God and to one another. All right, back to 1 Peter 3. Verses 8 through 12. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Referencing Psalm 34 there. In our submission, as mentioned, we learn to be more like Christ. That means we live in this world as examples of Christ to those around us, both in and out of the church. We are to be like-minded in Christ, have compassion like Jesus did, love like Jesus did, be tender-hearted and courteous. We don't return evil for evil, even though our flesh nature wants country justice when someone does us wrong. Oh, and we watch what comes out of our mouth. How y'all doing with that one? Remember our Savior on the cross the next time you want to have your say. Jesus had some words on how we should respond. Check out these verses from Matthew 5. He says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." So if we desire to be more like Jesus, it starts and ends with us submitting to him. He desires to bless his kids just like any good father would want to do. If we choose not to submit and go wild like my dogs on a walk, right, on the end of that leash, we shouldn't expect a blessing, but rather chastening. God has given us simple instructions to follow. We are the ones that can make our situation difficult by not listening. So what will you choose? Submission in what God is asking of you from his word, or are you going to fight the leash and see how that works for you? And remember, partial obedience or delayed obedience is the same as disobedience. All right, worship team, you can come on up. And as they're coming up, I got a couple last questions for you. What areas in your life are you struggling to submit to God in? Again, what areas in your life are you struggling to submit to God in? And Another question, what specific area of submission that we discussed today needs to be made right by you? And what practical steps will you take this week in what you learned today? Remember, every time we get together, there should be application. There should be a takeaway from here. Doesn't mean you have to grasp on to everything that I said today, but hopefully the Holy Spirit is speaking to you specifically about an area that you need to work into your life. And what do you need to confess to God about submitting? All right, one last word to my guys, my fathers on Father's Day. Going back to that Barna research that we talked about in the beginning. Remember that your role extends far beyond protecting and providing. Research makes it clear that the influence of a father as a dad, the clear influence of a father as a dad, the question isn't whether you will have an impact, you will. The question is what kind of impact will you choose to make? So consider some of these takeaways. Prioritize being present. Form a strong, positive bond with your child now, knowing this will have lasting effects into their adulthood. Build community around fatherhood. Join or create groups where you and other dads can learn from and celebrate one another. Seek mentorship. Connect with the older men and fathers who've navigated similar challenges. They've already been there. Reach out to them for their wisdom that can help transform your approach to parenting in life. And most importantly, invest in the next generation. Pour into younger men who need father figures. You'll find that this type of generosity creates its own rewards. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you for this opportunity this morning to just share your word, God, and to share what you put on my heart. I thank you, God, for the lessons of submission, because they're lessons that you learned, even as you submitted yourself to your own Father, going all the way to the cross for us, on our behalf. God, help us to learn what it is to be more like you. If there's part of us that's still holding on pridefully, and I'm not going to do that. God, I pray that we would remember that you are God and we are not. God, help us to submit to your authority first and foremost, and then all those that you've placed in order above us so that we can learn to be more like you and to shine as examples for you in this lost and dying world. And for all my dads that are here today, God, I pray that you would help them step into their roles. Help them where they feel like they're doing really good. Help them even in the areas where they're not. God, we need more of you and less of us. Lead us by your Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.